Our lesson tonight is called Dead to Sin and Alive to God. It's an interesting thing to think about, the fact that we are both dead and alive. And it's always been that way. Before we were saved, we were dead to God and alive to sin. When we got saved, God put to death our sin and gave us the life of Christ, resurrected us into spiritual life with Jesus. So now we are dead to sin and alive to God. We're both dead and alive at the same time. You've probably seen that, you know, in movies, maybe in the post office, I don't know if they say this anymore, where they had on those posters, they had the person's name and their picture, and there'd be like a reward, and it would say, wanted, dead or alive, right? I think God has a poster for each one of us, and it says, wanted, dead and alive. Dead to sin and alive to God. He wants us to learn how to somehow practically live out this being both dead and alive at the same time. This being dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to ourselves, and yet at the same time, alive spiritually. Eternal life, the life of Christ within us, alive to God, alive to righteousness and rightness, and being able to be what God wants us to be. That's the situation that we're in. It's the reality that exists for each one of us that believe in Christ. Yet is it the reality that we experience in our day-to-day? Have we come to a place where we can really experience this dying to sin? Or does sin still have a strong hold upon us? Have we come to this place where we experience each day this living to God, this very life of Christ within us? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what he intends for us to experience day in and day out. Victory over sin because we're dead to it. Victory in God because we're alive to him and Christ's life now lives within us. That's what these two passages talk about that we're going to look at tonight. We'll look at Romans chapter 6 and then Galatians chapter 2 verses 16 through 20. In Romans 6, Paul is writing and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right before this, he had written that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So he asked the question here, does that mean that we should sin so that there should be more grace? And his answer is certainly not, with an exclamation point. No, we should not continue in sin that grace may abound. Then he asked another question, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? If we are now dead to sin, how can we go about continuing to live in sin? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to be anymore. Before we're saved, we have to live in sin. It is our nature. We have no other option. We are alive to sin and dead to God. Sin rules in us. We are its slave. But as we shall see in a minute, when we get saved, we die to sin and are resurrected to newness of life. Sin no longer has to have dominion over us. So now we can ask ourselves this question. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do we not realize this is what has happened? It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, our sinful nature, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed to sin. He asked that question, or do you not know, do you not realize what has happened to us. Each of us, when we got saved, what happened to us is that just like Christ died and was buried and resurrected from the dead to newness of life, in the same way, our sin nature, our old person, died with Christ on the cross, was buried with Him, and was resurrected with Him to newness of life. So in the same way that Jesus walked in newness of life after He was resurrected, we should be living our lives experiencing a newness of life that we did not experience before. An ability to deal with sin. An ability to experience the eternal life that God has given us now. Because just like we were united together with Him in the likeness of His death, we're also in the likeness of His resurrection. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, the Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit of God that worked that resurrection. It was the power that the Holy Spirit had that resurrected Jesus from the dead. That same Holy Spirit, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives within each and every one of our bodies. He came to dwell within us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us today to give us resurrection life. Life that can be lived in such a way that we can deal with sin. We're in a situation where our old man was crucified on the cross with Christ, and now we are in a place that the body of sin might be done away with. That's God's desire for us. His desire for us is that our body that is so prone to sin would be overcome by the life of Christ within us and by the very power, the very resurrection power of the Holy Spirit who lives within our bodies. In order that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because that's where we was before. We were absolute slaves to sin. No matter what we tried to do, we could not live outside of sin. Jesus died on the cross, not just so that we could experience eternity with Him in heaven, but so that we could experience resurrection life today, so that we could experience life where we are no longer an absolute slave to the sin within us. Because the reality is that he who has died has been freed from sin. When a person dies that is a slave, they're no longer a slave. That's the end of their slavery. We were slaves to sin. When we died in Christ, we were freed from that slavery to sin. That's the reality that we live in today. And that's what Paul says. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Or did we not know that we were dead to sin and didn't have to live in it any longer? But now we know. That's the situation that we're in. We don't have to be slaves to it anymore. We're in a place now where we can be freed from it. But in order to experience that, we have to learn to experience the life of Christ. We have to learn to allow the Holy Spirit that lives within us to fill us, to control us, to create within us that life that He so desires to create within us. And the only thing between us experiencing that life is our willingness to allow Him to be in control. We have to give up our own way. We have to deny ourselves. We have to die to self. We have to take up our cross and follow Christ. And when we are willing to do that, give up our own way and our own desires, then the Holy Spirit who lives within us is willing to create the life of Christ within us and help us to deal with the sin that we so desperately struggle with. He goes on to explain it further. He says, now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives, the resurrection life that he lives to God. Likewise, in the same way, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the important parts of beginning to experience this is to come to a place that we recognize that this is the truth, that this is the reality that we now live in, and then come to a place that we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. This word here, reckon, means to come to the conclusion. It's the same kind of word that we use for doing a mathematical calculation. When you get to the end, you have the right answer if you did it correctly. He's saying, do the math. Do the reckoning. Come to the conclusion that this is the reality that you actually have. And when you come to that conclusion, reckon yourself to be just like Christ, dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So now we know that this is the reality. If we're going to experience it, we've got to come to the conclusion that that is what we want, that is what we need, and that is what we are going to pursue. And if we'll do that, then sin no longer will reign in our bodies. Sin will no longer control us. Sin will no longer be able to dominate us. And that's what he goes on to say. Therefore, as a result of this, because now you know that this is the situation, you died with Christ, have been resurrected with him, the Holy Spirit lives within you with that same resurrection power, giving you that same resurrection life. Knowing that we have died with Christ, now we need to reckon ourselves to be in that situation, come to that conclusion that that's where we are and depend upon it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So what has to happen is we realize now that this is the situation. We've reckoned that this is true. We've come to that conclusion. We've decided that that's what we want. And then the next step is to actually present ourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. And stop presenting ourselves, our bodies, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? We're in a place now where sin can only have dominion over us when we present ourselves to sin to obey it. We're in a place now where we're only a slave to sin if we choose to be a slave to sin. Before we were saved, we didn't have to choose to be a slave to sin. We just were. He was our master. Sin was our master. We was its slave and we obeyed it perfectly. But now, it can only have any control over us if we present ourselves to it to obey it. We have to make the choice. He goes on to say, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See, thanks be to God that He brought to us through the Holy Spirit a realization of where we were, slaves to sin and enemies of God. And then He helped us to realize what Jesus had done for us, and we believed on that. And when we obeyed that from the heart, we were delivered. We were set free. And we are no longer slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to righteousness. Righteousness is now our master. Righteousness is now our natural way of living. For us to go back to sin, we have to make a conscious and foolish choice to do so. And He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. What He's saying is, I'm giving you this illustration about slavery because you don't really understand all these things just yet. Because of the weakness of your flesh, I give you a fleshly or a common explanation of this situation so that you can understand it. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so just like before we got saved, we just naturally followed sin, presenting ourselves as the slaves of sin. And what that did for us was create more sin within us. The more we followed sin, the more sinful we became. So now, in the same way, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. In the same way that we presented our members, our bodies, as slaves to sin and became more sinful as a result, today we're in a place where when we present our bodies as slaves to righteousness, that will then in turn produce in us more righteousness. When we make that decision and we choose to follow the life that He's given us, He is able then to create more of that life within us. Just like sin produced more sin, the choice to righteousness produces more righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? What good was all that to you? For the end of those things is death. Now that we understand the real scenario, we know that the end result of sin is death. So why would we ever choose that again? But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the, in the end, everlasting life. Now we're in a situation where we understand that when we present ourselves to righteousness, that we become more and more alive to God, we experience the life of Christ more and more, we experience the fruit of the Spirit and the holiness that God creates within us, and that tends towards everlasting life, that abundant life that Jesus promised we would have. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is true before we got saved, and that is true after we got saved. Even today in us as believers, the wages or the thing that we earn from sin is death. Sin always produces death in people. It corrupts us, it hurts us, it hinders us. But the gift of God in Jesus Christ is eternal life. It is the abundant life that Christ came to give us. And that's what He desires for us to experience. And He wants us to understand we have this choice to make. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're now slaves to righteousness. But we can choose to be disobedient to our new master and go back and obey our old master if we choose to do so. But we need to understand the consequences of that. Going back to obey our old master produces in us death. That is the wages of sin. Choosing to be obedient and submissive to our new master produces in us life. Abundant life. Eternal life. Infinite life. The very life that the Holy Spirit who lives within our bodies can produce in us just like it did in Christ when it raised Him from the dead. So God wants people who are dead and alive. God wants us to not just be that, but to experience that. He wants us to experience death to sin and live it each day. He wants us to experience being alive to Him. He wants us to experience the abundant life that Jesus came for us to have. But it all comes down to a choice. Same choice that He gave Israel all those thousands of years today. What are you going to do this day? Are you going to obey me or disobey me? Are you going to choose a blessing or a curse? Paul wrote about the same idea to the Galatians in chapter 2, verses 16 through 20. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. There is no way that we can do things that would be pleasing enough for God to accept us on our own merit. We are saved purely by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting His death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that we died with Him, our sins placed on Him, we was buried with Him, and then we was resurrected with Him, believing that that happened. And trusting completely in that and not in our abilities to be righteous. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. It says, He saved us. He gave us this new life. He made us now slaves to righteousness instead of slaves to sin. If we sin, is it His fault? No, it's not His fault. If we sin, it's our fault because we chose to go back to our old master. It says, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I go back to those things before and begin to rebuild those things in my life, then I'm a transgressor. I'm disobeying God. I'm going back to the place I was when I was His enemy. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's where each one of us is. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer us who lives, but Christ lives within us. In the life that we now live in the flesh, in this body that has still got a tremendous tendency towards sin. We know it. We all feel it. We all experience it. We succumb to it all the time. We need to realize that this life, if we're going to live it as God would have us to live, we have to live it by the faith of the Son of God. We have to live it by the faith of Christ that's within us, who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's the only way it can happen. There's no amount of effort that can cause us to be good even now. There is no even trying to keep the law now. Even though He has changed us and made us slaves to righteousness, if we try to attain to that righteousness by keeping the law, by keeping rules and regulations, we will still fail just like we did before we got saved. We can't go back. We can't try to live it that way. The only way that we can be what God wants us to be is to live this life that we live in this body by the life of Christ within us. It's the only way. We can't do it. The sin that is still within us. There will be a day when this sin that is within us will be completely eradicated. We will deal with it no more. That day has not come yet. But it is the reality that we live in, that God has made us alive to Him through Christ. He has given us the life of Christ. He has given us the Holy Spirit to live within our bodies to empower that life within us so that we can live it and experience it now. If we're going to do and be what God wants us to do and be, we've got to do it through the life of Christ that lives within us. The determining factor of whether the life of Christ within us is something that we experience or not is who we submit ourselves as slaves to obey. If we will submit ourselves to God and to Christ and the Holy Spirit as slaves to obey, then He will create within us righteousness. And it will build and build. If we submit ourselves as slaves to sin, and now we have a choice, and we can make that choice, then that sin within us will build and build and build just like it did before. If we're going to be pleasing to God, we've got to die to ourselves and live unto God.